that's helpful to you. 3 John 12. It reads, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone, and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know our testimony is true. Let's read it again. Now, you think about what we're saying here, okay? Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Amen. Amen. Father, we bow together now and come to you as your word lies open before our eyes and our hearts lie open before your eyes. We need your help to discern what you're saying to us, to interpret it properly, and then apply it rightly to our lives. Holy Spirit, we call upon you now to help us bind Satan. Lord Jesus, we call upon you. You say that where two or three are gathered in your name, you would be there in the midst of us. And so we trust you, Lord Jesus, to be with us now as we gather to understand what you have told us and to rightly divide it so that it'll help us in our lives and our journey until we finally see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about testimony. Testimony. And actually, you know, it'll probably be for the next few weeks. But testimony. I know we use it a lot, but I hope to motivate you that it's worth thinking about more, okay? Testimony. Now, a testimony is a statement for the purpose of establishing and recording truth, okay? That's just a fundamental biblical definition of testimony, right? It's a statement for the purpose of establishing and recording truth. And so anytime there are testimonies, now testimony and witness is often used synonymously in the scriptures. It's often interchanged. You'll see the scriptures use the word witness or testimony. But testimonies are witnesses that do not establish truth or what? They're false. Because the very purpose of a testimony is to establish truth. Okay? Now follow me along. This is going to be a real simple sermon. But you gotta use your sanctified mind to follow along, okay? Now, Jesus gave an example of a true testimony in John chapter 8 and verse 14. He said, Jesus answered, Even if I do bear witness of myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You see? I know. Now this is important. When it comes to a testimony, you need to know what you're talking about. You get it? Why? Because you are dealing with what? Truth. Truth. Jesus said, I know where I came from. but you don't. And listen to me. And you're going to face this with your own testimony. There are going to be people who do not believe you. That's okay. If your testimony is true, let them go on with their unbelief. There are people that don't believe the gospel. The gospel is what? The testimony of God. And you cannot change a person's resistance or rejection. They rejected Christ. And he is the way, the truth, and what? The life. Amen. And so remember that when you are sharing your testimony, make sure it's true. But once you've shared it, you got to leave it alone. When you know it's true, when you know it's true, let God use it. Yes? Jesus said, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. You don't. You don't. Yeah. Well, but we also get some examples in the scriptures of false testimonies against Christ. I want to give you a little sample of it in Mark chapter 14. You're familiar with it. Mark chapter 14, verses 55 through 60. Mark 14, 55. Now the chief priest and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands. And yet even about this, their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, have you no answer to make? What is this that these men testify against you? They didn't need to answer. Why? Because their testimony was what? False. Keep that in mind. There are people that's going to give testimonies and testify against you, and you know it's a lie. You know it's a lie. You know you shouldn't feel compelled to respond, okay? And so we have those examples. By way of introduction, just a few more thoughts here. A testimony also involves words and deeds. In other words, a testimony is what you say and what you do. John chapter 3 and verse 32. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. You see? What he has seen, done, and what he has heard, spoken. You see? It's words and actions. In the scriptures, there are testimonies of the law, testimonies from the Lord, testimonies from the Spirit, testimonies about Christ, testimonies about Paul, etc. But today, I specifically want to talk about personal testimonies, and that is about you, your personal testimony. And so, in doing so, I want to unpack this verse in these three ways, and then we'll be done. A testimony involves what God says about you. A testimony involves what other people say about you. And a testimony involves what you say about yourself. Okay? What you say about yourself. Let's think about this. A testimony involves what God says about you. Now, I'm talking to Christians here, so I know I won't get any debate on this issue. Obviously, What God says is true. God's testimonies are what? Are true. And so they are sure. And so we don't even have to, I don't even have to go, you know, plow up a lot of verses. You know that. God's testimonies are true. Therefore, when God bears witness, or when God testifies that someone is good and what they are doing is good, that is what? True. Why? Because God has testified in that way. That's the reason we get so encouraged with, you remember those verses that we quote so much, Matthew 25, as we see this description of things near the end when God is commending his servants. What does he say? Well done. Yes. What? Good and faithful servant. You are a good and faithful servant. But he also says, you have been, what? Faithful over a few things. So, when God says a person is good, and what they've done is good, you need to just say amen.
Amen.
When God declares that you are a saint, it doesn't matter what other people think.
Amen.
Because God's testimony is what? It's true. Yeah, it's true. And so this is a wonderful thing to think that God's a testimony involves what God says about you, and God has something to say about you, whether you belong to Him or not. But thank God, when you belong to Him, He certainly has something to say about you. Now, I said this is good. He has things good to say about you. But God also has to address the what? The bad. Yeah? Why? Because none of us have arrived. Nobody's perfect. And so God has to address what? That which is still what? Wrong. That which is still in error. And so God speaks. He speaks through His Word. He speaks directly through His Spirit at times. He speaks to our conscience, convicting us, as we see that in Romans 2, God speaks even to those who don't have a law. They don't have the Word of God. God still what? He speaks. There's natural revelation where he speaks through nature. But you and I are blessed to have what? Special revelation where he's speaking through His Word. And you have this intimate relationship with Him. Speaks to us through His Spirit. And so it's a wonderful thing to know that God speaks to us. And He tells us when we're wrong. When you're wrong. No good parent is going to continue to lie to you when they know you are what? You are wrong. So God has something to say about us when we haven't done good. And when God bears witness that something is bad or sinful in our lives, it also is what? It's true. Yes?
Amen.
Why? Because all of His testimonies are what? True. We don't argue with God when He testifies something about us. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5, we must all stand before what? The judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we've done, either good or bad. Right? So God is the one who testifies in that regard. Keep that in mind. A testimony involves what God has to say about you, and thank God for that. You can count on that. But I also want you to know that a testimony involves what other people have to say about you. And you can say, well, I don't care what other people have to say about you. It's important to listen. Yeah, I'm not saying that everything people say is right, but it's important to what? To listen. To know. Sometimes, I want to give you an example. Can you find Matthew 16? Matthew 16. Again, y'all will be familiar with this context here with Jesus and this interaction with Peter. Matthew 16:13. It reads, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets.' Then verse 15, he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.' Amen." So now, what are you saying, Brother Willie? I'm saying that a testimony involves what other people say about you, and sometimes what people say about you is bad. It's wrong. It's wrong. Right? And in this case right here, other people's assessment of Jesus was wrong. And so you shouldn't be surprised when other people give testimonies about you and they missed it. They missed what you did. They missed why you did it. They have misrepresented your intent, your purpose, your motivation. Why? They did it to our master. Jesus said, if they hated me, what? They will hate you. And so this is real. I'm saying we pay attention to what other people say about us, but we also accept the fact that they can be what? Wrong. They can be wrong. Some say you're John the Baptist. Would you? Well, that's all right. That's what some people say. Some say you're Jeremiah, or you know, you see, or one of the other prophets. And so you got people saying things about you, and that upsets you. You got to grow on past that. Amen. They talked about Jesus. They misrepresented him. All right. They're certainly going to misrepresent you. Yeah? You see, Jesus didn't get tripped up by that, by them thinking, this is the Messiah, and they think he's John the Baptist. The Messiah. The Savior of the world, and they think he is John the Baptist. Okay? And people test, they can stand up and testify about these things in public arenas. And you find out about it. They've been saying wrong things about you at your workplace, or you know, whatever the case may be. You follow me? So you shouldn't be surprised by that. Not only that, not only were they wrong about who he was, they're wrong about what he was doing. Because many people accuse Jesus of being in collusion with the devil. Didn't they? He's working with Beelzebub. He's casting out demons by the power of the devil. And Jesus said, Your argument is circular. It doesn't even make sense. Why would I cast out a devil by the power of the devil? A kingdom what? Divided against itself can't stand. But see, when you got people talking about you that simply want to tear you down, they don't even think that what they're saying is irrational. So why would you argue and debate with somebody that's irrational? I think I told y'all once before, by one of my seminary professors said, sin is irrational. So don't sit around and scratch your head and try to figure out why a person is sinning. People that sin out of their mind. You out of your mind when you sin. I was too. That's the reason the Bible says once you get saved, you get brought into your what? Your right mind. We were crazy before we were saved. Crazy. That's what real crazy means. And the Bible refers to people as a fool. That's what a real fool is. You see, we're living as if there's no God. So don't get caught up into trying to respond to foolish people. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Even though they talk louder than you, they got a bigger platform than you, they're influencing way more people than you are. You got to know that your testimony is true. I know what I'm doing. I know I've been born again.
Amen.
I know I'm not the same. And that's the reason I tell everybody here, you need to know what God has called you to do.
Amen.
Everybody in our little congregation, why are we here? Because God called me here.
Amen.
That's why we stick around. Doesn't matter what people say about us. Doesn't matter. I know what I've been called to do. You get it? And so, some people's testimony is just going to be false because they really don't know you. They may hang around you, but you see what? They don't know you. And all of us know people like that, don't we? They hang around you, but they don't know you. But then, there's some people's testimony that's good, and it's right. Because Jesus went on, then to talk to what? His own disciples, and he said what? But what do you say? Who do you say? Right? Then I am. And you got to have people in your circle that know you that way.
Amen.
You got to have people in your circle that know you well enough to know that when somebody brings a lie, you know that is what? Is a lie.
Amen.
You got to have people in your circle well enough to know, because they know you. What do you have to say? Talking to his disciples. Who do you say that I am? Yeah. You're getting the picture here now. So people that truly know you should know the truth and have a right assessment about you. Because see, it was in his circle that Peter could stand up and say, "You are the Christ." Other people are saying one thing and then another. But I know you are what? The Christ. I know it for myself. Now, Jesus went on to say, now you can't take no pride in that, Peter, because you wouldn't know that if God hadn't revealed it to you. But see, that's the Christian life. Thank God we live a life where God is what? He's revealing things to us that we did not know. And this is the beauty of the Christian life. The things that we know now, God what? Reveal them to us. You can't be arrogant about it. You didn't know it. You didn't know anything. God had to teach you everything after you were saved. Just like the Israelites. You remember that? God saved the Israelites. He had to teach them how to eat, how to drink, how to dress. All of that stuff. And you come on. And if you'll be honest, he'll do the same thing with you after you got saved. The way I dressed before I was saved was... What about you? The way I spoke? Yeah? You know what I'm saying. And so you can't be proud. You know what I mean? You can't be arrogant about that. Why? It was God who did it. But you see, people that know you should know a writer. They should know you've been changed. If you know me, you knew the old has passed away. And what? The new has come. You know I'm not the same old person that I used to be. You know I'm not playing games. You get it? It was Peter who could reply and say who he really was. Now, this is one of the main things I wanted to get at today, is that God will affirm the things that are true about you and vindicate you when it's needed. That's what I see here in this 3 John 12. God will affirm the things that are true and vindicate you when it's needed. So here you have this elder writing this little letter saying that Demetrius has received what? A good testimony. People that know you will affirm that you live your life in a way that you have a what? A good testimony. He has, and look at how it reads. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. What? Who is that? Everyone that really knows him. Everyone that really knows you gives you what? A good testimony. Amen. Not a perfect testimony, but what? A good testimony. Amen. You get it? A good testimony. And from the truth itself. And it also, the Bible itself affirms that you are what? Living the way God wants you to live. And here this elder then says, and I also add, we also add our testimony, and you know our testimony is true. And so people that know you will rightly assess your life and what you're doing, and when they speak of you, they will speak truth. Okay? Amen. Last thing. So not only do we see that a testimony involves what God has to say about you and what other people have to say about you. The last thing I want to talk about quickly is the fact that a testimony involves what you say about yourself. What you say about yourself. And the fact is that are you willing to own the bad? This is important. Are you willing to own, since nobody has arrived, nobody is perfect, when you speak of yourself, you see, are you willing to testify about that which is bad? Now, the Bible tells us that we're not to be arrogant, boastful, we're not to lie, or exaggerate the truth, what? To impress others with our testimony. Haven't you seen that in people? Sharing their testimony, and you know all that they're doing is trying to outdo what they just heard. Eric, no, they used to call it old fishing stories, right? I don't know why people pick on fishermen so much, but they used to talk about old fishing stories. And because, why? Because as soon as somebody tells the one story, they caught a fish this big, what's going to happen? somebody got to have one bigger. No, that's not the way it is to be in the Christian family. We're not competing with testimonies. As a matter of fact, we say this a lot. Y'all remember that verse there in Romans 12 that said you be careful not to think more highly of yourself than you ought. But then you remember the situation in Acts chapter 5? You remember this? We had Ananias and Sapphira. Y'all remember that story? And where Barnabas, you remember in Acts 4, people there were selling their property, giving it to the poor because there were real needs. And Barnabas had done so and sold a piece of property and so generously, brought all of the proceeds from the sale of that property and laid it down at the disciples' feet. In other words, given it so that it could be distributed to the poor. But now Ananias and Sapphira said, I won't give me some of this testimony. Yeah. I mean, I can't let Barnabas have all of the, you see? I can't let Barnabas have all of this testimony. So they decided to do the same thing. Sell some property, but they made a mistake. They decided to keep some of the profits themselves, but lie and say they were giving it all to help the people. Now that was a deadly mistake, wasn't it? Deadly mistake. God doesn't play with testimonies. I guess that's what I'm trying to get you all to see. Because Peter said, Ananias, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? You came up in the church as if God didn't know you had kept some of that money yourself. Some people standing up giving their testimonies as if God doesn't know you are lying. Don't play with God.
Amen.
Don't play with God. Now, I thank God he hadn't killed any of us. But I just feel like that's one of the reasons he wanted us to talk about this.
Amen.
Testimony needs to be real. Let it stand on its own feet. Don't be comparing your testimony to somebody else's. That's their testimony. That's theirs. Yeah? Hadn't God done enough for you that you don't need to? You see?
Amen.
I'm serious. And so what's the bottom line? Confession is needed in our testimony. Right? 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and forgive us for all unrighteousness. Honesty. That's the bottom line. Honesty. Okay, I've been on that one long enough. So y'all got it. You get the point. The last thing I want to talk about then is that what you say about yourself not only should own up to the bad, but should also address the good. A believer knows that any good word or deed comes from God and it must glorify God. Jesus said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, right? Paul said in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, if anyone boasts, let them boast in the Lord. And James said that every good gift, every perfect gift comes from comes from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. So everybody who's giving a good report and a good testimony knows that it came from the Lord. The Lord. It came from the Lord. Any good in a believer's life is by the grace of God. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God. So since all good comes from the Lord, he alone deserves the praise in our testimony. Praise the Lord from the heavens, as the psalmist says. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, sun, moon, and shining stars. Praise Him, you mighty, for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Let everything that has breath do what? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, over the next few weeks, I want to convince you that a good testimony is extremely valuable. Over the next few weeks, I want to convince you that what God has to say about you is valuable. What people are saying about you is valuable, and what you're saying about yourself. Hebrews 11 summarizes the testimonies of many of the believers in the Old Testament. For those of you who, you call it the what? The Hall of Fame. But you, if you remember, you come right out of Hebrews 11 and the very first verse of chapter 12 says what? We're surrounded by such a great cloud of what?
Witnesses.
What's the word?
Witnesses.
Isn't that something? We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And I told you all that testimony and witness are used interchangeably, synonymously. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, what do witnesses do? Witnesses give their testimonies of what they have experienced. We are witnesses for Jesus. Yeah. We have personal experience with Jesus. What you mean, Brother Willie? He saved us. He forgave us. He raised us. He amazed us. He gave us everything good. He bought us. He taught us. He fought for us. He filled us. He healed us. He concealed us when we needed to be. He woke us. He spoke to us. He walks with us. He talks with us. He encourages us. He defends us. He vindicates us. He protects us. He provides for us. He guides us. He hides us in the shelter of His wing.
Hallelujah.
You got, if you're a Christian, you got real experience with Jesus. Our lives are living letters. That was 2 Corinthians 3. Our lives are living letters written by the Holy Spirit. Our lives are open books for everybody to read. Now I want you to, I'm trying to close now, and I want you to think about it, though. I just want you to think now. Our lives are open books for everybody to read. And so you are walking testimony whether you know it or not. People reading your book every day. Every day. So we honor God with our lives and with our lips. The question is, what is your life saying about God? And what are your lips saying about God? I thought about this. You are actually writing your obituary right now.
Amen.
While you yet live. Don't we need to think about that? So what testimonies do you want included in your obituary? You need to live it what? Now. Now. It's so sad to get to funerals and see people stand up and lie. Now, I'm not being crass and critical. But when you speak of someone's life, what do you want it to be? What is the testimony supposed to be? True. You're writing your obituary right now. So when people speak of you, let them speak what? True. True. And so that's the deal. You need to Have you thought about what you want included in your obituary? What do you want people to say about you? You need to do something about it. What? Now. Now. The scriptures tell us to think or to meditate on the things that are true, right? Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, right? Think on these things. So the question is, what is true about God? What is true that God is saying about you? What is true that people are saying about you? And what is true that you're saying about yourself? What has God done for you? No one knows your story. No one knows your story like you. And no one can tell your story like you tell it. So I really want you to take some time in this meditation period now we have for just a few minutes. Take some time and think about your story. Think about your testimony. Don't start wandering off and thinking about somebody else. Think about your testimony. What is your testimony? What can be said about you? What is God saying about you? What are other, now I'm talking about what's true now. What are other people saying about you that's true? What can you say about yourself that's what? True. Take some time now and meditate on this. And if you're not a Christian, I want you to take some time right now too and think about the only one that is true, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you come to Him, He will make your life brand new. And He'll give you a story. He'll give you a story to tell and a testimony that's brand new. Well, God bless you. Father, thank you so much for these few minutes that we had. And would you now meet us as we meditate on these truths from your word. Holy Spirit, do your work among us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Recording stopped.